I had early challenges from the get-go saying this is never going to work.
It's a new world for business.
It was quite daunting.
A world that's changing every day.
It's quite a harsh term.
And to survive, businesses are encouraged to boldly embrace new technologies, new business models, and new ideas.
To this day, it's one of the most solid things I've done.
Bold Businesses, a podcast series about the bold embracing the new.
I wish I had that back then.
Powered by Vodafone.
Are bricks and mortar stores dead, or do they just need to evolve? And with the ever-increasing landscape of online retail and e-commerce giants, how can a small retail business survive online? I'm Cara Waters, small business editor for The Age and Sydney Morning Herald, and this is the Bold Businesses podcast, powered by Vodafone. Today we're going to be looking at the opportunities and challenges faced by retail businesses online versus traditional bricks and mortar stores, and asking how they can reach their customers and then give them the best experience. Take a left. A little later, I'm going to be asking PR and social media expert Katrina Pollard for retail marketing tips. But first, we're ducking into a popular Melbourne gift store.
These are beer holders for the shower. This will stick onto the wall. It's silicone, and you'll whack your can in there and it'll just sit nicely in your shower on the shower wall, on your tiles.
Stay nice and frosty.
Well, it depends if you're having a hot or cold shower, I guess, so.
Stephen Lewin was a vintage toy collector and store manager before he made the decision to buy into Melbourne-based gift business Urban Attitude. He's now managing two bricks and mortar shop fronts and an online store with a turnover of just over $1.5 million.
This sort of stuff is more novelty. Again, luggage tags is a range of products we've bought in recently, my favourite being the spam one. It looks like a tin of spam.
Stephen, you've got some pretty quirky products at Urban Attitude.
Yes.
Some of my favourites are the Vladimir Putin toilet spray with the emphasis on the poo, and the soup ladle that's shaped like the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes.
What are your personal favourites?
Probably my favourites are our own designs because a lot of blood, sweat and tears have gone into them. The ones that stick out are our stools. We designed a sushi stool, a cheese stool and a licorice all sorts stool, which double up as a side table.
And how do you come up with the idea for something like that, a sushi stool?
It's just having creative people around. Everyone that works for us are quite unique. They all have their very own character and personality, and it all comes from that. Like I always said, coming up with ideas is the easiest thing for us. It's getting it into action, implementing it's a challenge.
So I was going to ask how you started out as a toy collector, but I guess everyone starts out as a toy collector,
don't
they?
Yeah, I just didn't stop.
So Urban Attitude was an existing business.
Correct.
When you bought into it 5 years ago. What made you decide to buy a business rather than starting from scratch?
We did look at the option of starting it from scratch. The costs involved were similar, but Urban Attitude had quite an iconic and established local brand recognition. Mm-hmm. So we thought that was appealing to me anyway. I actually started doing pop-up kiosks in shopping centres prior to Urban Attitude, and it seemed a natural progression to hop onto there.
Do you have any tips for people through the process of buying an existing business for anyone else who's looking at doing the same?
Do your due diligence.
Yes.
You really got to scrutinise everything. Because, I mean, when we did the due diligence, you know, you see the sales, you see the expenses, you see what the past was, how many stores were there, how many are now, et cetera. But you don't really see the fine nuts and bolts of the day-to-day operations of the business, so to speak, during that due diligence period. You don't have the opportunity to actually sit down and spend, you know, a few weeks within the business itself and see how the actual procedures and operations are running. So that was a big challenge.
So what was the business like when you bought it and what's it like now?
I'd say it's very different. Well, taking you back a step of the history of Urban Attitude, in the early days when it first opened, it was more of a high-end gift store. When retail was probably a little bit different to what it is now, you could import these desirable brands from overseas that no one would have. As time went on, they were getting knocked off quite easily in places like China, mm-hmm. Which devalued brands like Alessi, for example, which was really, you know, in the 90s was a really, you know, upmarket homewares kind of brand.
I've got an Alessi champagne bucket at home.
There you go.
I can vouch for that.
And I bet you there's heaps of copies out there as well in China now. So that was the biggest challenge at the time. And then the owners that I bought the business from, I guess, tried to mix it up. They made it more a novelty kind of store. And our challenge now is to lift it up to that middle level. You know, when Christmas time comes, we can offer that Kris Kringle, but what's that evergreen that we're going to be able to offer to the person that walks through the door every day? A lot of people need to have their hand held, but still having that unique offering that you won't be able to find everywhere else.
How seasonal is the business? As in, what sort of percentage of your business happens in
December?
It is
very seasonal. And as I mentioned before, we are working on changing our positioning a little bit, focusing on, we want to be homewares with a difference now. Because, yeah, the biggest challenge coming into the business was exactly that. The back end of the year, everything was great, but, you know, we still had another 9 months of the year to put food on the table for the family, and that's the biggest challenge.
So you've got two stores at the moment, one in St Kilda and one High Point in Melbourne.
Yep.
And is the plan for more stores, or is that as much as you want of a bricks and mortar footprint?
Well, we did have more stores. We did have a store in South Yarra last year, which we closed down because, you know, obviously retail's tough, but Chapel Street has taken quite a big hit over the last 2 years.
Yeah, it really has.
So we just thought, and I was always very reluctant. I was always like, oh, I've got three stores. If I have two, my business is going backwards. But I think it was the best move I made. Took a lot of relief off me financially to get my bearings and to reset and focus on what we need to do.
It has been a challenging time for retail businesses.
Yep.
Do you think there's still life in bricks and mortar retail?
Oh, definitely. I think, especially for the industry we're in as well, like I think with things like that are a bit more gift oriented and you need to generate some ideas. Sure, you can search online, but a lot of it's that tangible touch and feel, which I think is always going to be there.
And what about online retail? How much of your sales come online?
It's funny because we don't put a lot of time in online, especially in advertising, because we tried in the past. And as a small business, we got all these SEO type companies coming to us, promising us the world. And we just felt we were just feeding their piggy banks all the time and getting no return. So organically, we do quite well online at the back end of the year, being a gift business. But we're actually now working on an online strategy. We just employed someone full time to work on a social media campaign. And we believe that doing it organically is the way to go rather than using these outsourced parties that, you know, are going to advertise for you and, like I said, promise you the world but give you nothing.
So you started out at Wishlist, which is one of the original online gift retailers. What lessons did you take from that in terms of your online offering?
You know, coming from that background as well from Wishlist, I think there's a bit of a misconception that online sales in terms of running an online business is cheaper. It's just as expensive as a bricks and mortar at times. So the key to it to me is getting the right product. So whether we're online or we have bricks and mortar, I think is secondary to us. It's having that right offering, which is the most important thing to us. And I think from that people come.
You have a loyal customer base.
Yes.
How do you go about marketing to that existing clientele when you've got, you're competing against a lot of different retailers in the online space?
Our direct marketing emails is always quite successful because we know that we've already got that engagement with our database.
And how many people do you have on your email databases then?
So far, we've got just over 30,000.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
But the challenge is trying to figure out how much of it's actually useful now.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of filtering through that and working out strategies how to actually make sure or reduce what it needs to be at to make it a lot more accurate.
When a customer's buying something from you online, you don't have your staff necessarily there to hold their hand and guide them through the process like you do when they come into the store and say, I need something for my brother's birthday. How do you go about that process?
We do have online? A gift finder, which allows you to select different occasions and age groups and sex, which is quite useful. And again, our product category trees is another way of, I guess, for a customer that needs their hand held a little bit to navigate through the site. We are restructuring that currently as well. So within the next 3 months, our website's going to be redone to have a nice fresh look. Our front page we've had an issue with because we've had a lot of imagery and it looks all very pretty. but it's really not very sales focused. People are coming onto our site to buy, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make it a lot more in your face. This is what you can buy in this department, or this product of the week, et cetera, which we've really never pushed as hard as we should have.
So in terms of refreshing your website, how often do you have to do that?
Well, since I've been there, we've done it twice.
Yep.
And one thing that we haven't changed that we really need to and are going to be doing is our checkout process,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty much a 5-stage process. We want to make that a 1-stage process, which now a lot of the online retailers are doing and have already. So that's one of the big things, because obviously it eliminates the risk of people dropping out through the checkout process.
For you as an online retailer, you know, do you have challenges with delivery? That yes. seems to be a common gripe.
Yeah, well, we actually have an added challenge is that our flagship store in St Kilda has been turned into a mall. So,
yes. So for people who aren't familiar with Melbourne, you can no longer drive
Ackland Street
through yeah. Ackland Street. Yeah, it's correct. Just that a tram goes down it now.
So in the old days, we used to get the courier companies or Australia Post literally coming to our doorstep, picking up our parcels. Now they all refuse to because the access is too difficult.
Mm.
So that's added an extra challenge for us on top of everything. So we just had to buy some trolleys and we wheel them down to Australia Post every day.
Do you send them on the tram?
Yeah, well, look, again, that's what we have to do.
Yep.
And, you know, there's no point crying over it. We just got to move on and do what we can.
What's next for the business?
Next, well, like I said, we're really focusing now on our getting our product mix right. You know, we're going to be doing a lot more pop-ups for this year, and we're just really waiting to see what the rental market does in the areas we like to operate. You know, shopping centres, I've been told, are starting to become a little bit more easier to deal with because of the retail environment.
Do you find a lot of that you think online sales, the two complement each other, that people come into the store and then they might buy later?
Oh, for sure. Especially in St Kilda, we've got a lot of tourists coming through, and when they get back home, they come back online mm-hmm. and they'll buy from, because they don't want to be carrying around whatever they've bought. So
their sushi stool.
Correct.
Could be awkward correct. In the
we don't offer that online. I'd love to.
Is there anything that keeps you up at night in terms of the business?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think all small business owners have the same sleepless nights, you know. It mainly comes down to financials, you know, how I'm going to pay the rent, how I'm going to pay the wages, how I'm going to pay for stock, you know. But I mean, it's all about survival and, you know, you keep pedaling on, you keep moving forward, you keep evolving, you keep changing. I think that's the key to it all. And that's probably where I have most of my sleepless nights, is thinking of what we can do next.
For Stephen Lewin, the owner of Urban Attitude, having the right online presence has been one of the keys to success. In Vodafone's Ready Apps marketplace, email marketing and hosting apps like Cakemail and Weebly can help your business keep in touch with existing customers and create the perfect website. And when you become a Vodafone customer, you get a personal account manager when you have just 10 or more connections. To find out more on how Vodafone can help your business, go to vodafone.com.au/business.
ABN required, $300 limit per month, billed monthly by Vodafone. Choose monthly add-on or pay 1-year subscription up front. T's and C's apply.
We've been speaking with Stephen Lewin about running his gift store, Urban Attitude, both through his two Melbourne-based stores and online. Joining me in the studio now is social media expert Katrina Pollard. Katrina's a business owner herself, a TEDx speaker, and the author of a book, From Unknown to Expert. Katrina, what are your first thoughts about hearing Steve talk about Urban Attitude?
So I think that bricks and mortar stores thinking about going online is a really great idea. I think that it's pretty hard just to exist as a bricks and mortar store now. I think there's so many sales to be had to going online. And I know several stores that by far the majority of their sales are online, even though people do come into their stores. But what they need to do is understand that selling through bricks and mortar is very different to selling online. There's some similarities. You need to create community. You need to get people interested in your products in a certain way, but it's two really different things. And so it's essentially running two different businesses.
And what are the real differences then?
So the real difference is online, you have so much competition. And I think some of the things that he needs to really be thinking about is that while people do visit a website maybe once or twice, check out whether he's got a specific gift that they're looking for, what he needs to do is then create this brand loyalty, this idea around people constantly coming back to your website. And so one of the key things that even though social media is really important, email marketing is so essential now too.
Which is interesting because Stephen's actually got a great email list and was one of the reasons he bought into the business in the first place.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because on his website, he has, you know, sign up for my VIP mailing list. And what I would suggest to him is to give people a reason to sign up for your mailing list. Like, you can never have too big a mailing list or a database. But I think it's really about the content of those emails. It can't just be, these are the products that we have. There has to be some promotions. There has to be some action in those emails as well. And I think that's one of the things that people think, oh, I don't want to spam people, but people want to get information from you that is relevant to them. And email is where it's at still.
And which is interesting because people talk so much about social media and email seems a bit old-fashioned almost, but it's still valuable.
Yeah. So one of the things, one of the techniques that I suggest to people is social media is so fantastic in creating community, but you have to do it right. And the thing about social media with Instagram, with Facebook, is that you really do have to pay to play now. And with a really effective social media marketing that I suggest people do is if you're advertising on Instagram, for example, give people a reason to go to your website or to sign up for your database, because once you, so you're using social media essentially to then get them into your funnel, into your marketing funnel, rather than keeping on finding them on social media. And once they're on your funnel, you can then send them promotions and so on. So some of the marketing that you can do in social media can be action orientated. So sign up for our email list and get 10% off, and that can actually be the ad. So you're giving people a reason to do something and then going to your website rather than just promoting your product.
So Stephen mentioned Urban Attitude has been doing its social media and marketing in-house, and he's been wary of outsourcing and search engine optimization. What's your advice to businesses in terms of what they do in-house and how much they pay for SEO?
There's no right or wrong with this. The thing about actually being able to get somebody externally is that you'll probably find somebody who has a lot of experience that you're just paying at an hourly rate or a set monthly rate, as opposed to the person that you can afford in-house may not be at that level or that experience. So you tend to be able to get more experienced people if you have somebody externally. I think definitely from an SEO perspective, you do need to have an expert to come in and do SEO consistently on your website. And if you're selling online, SEO is essential. But I also think that there definitely needs to be social media marketing as well. So there has to be somebody who understands that it's not just about posting on Instagram. You actually have to then interact. And so from an algorithm perspective, Instagram loves that. They want to see that interaction. They want to see that that brand is actually replying and responding.
So while Stephen and Urban Attitude are getting a lot of growth through digital sales, they're also traditional bricks and mortar is key to the business. What advice do you have in terms of making the most of that bricks and mortar business and overcoming the sort of challenges like Stephen has had to with part of the road closing down outside his business?
Yeah. So one of the really great things you can do with bricks and mortar store is get people to come in for a reason. So rather than, if your foot traffic is low, there are so many different things that you can do. I just, for example, I just spoke at an event recently for at a wine cafe, and what they're doing is actually having people who have a large social media presence, and so they're creating events. They actually had a whole bunch of people come into their wine bar that they'd never been in before. So that's one of the things that he can do as well, and I think that's just one of the most effective things for bricks and mortar stores. And I think also too, understanding that people come into the store and at those events that we talked about, making sure that you've got, if you buy online, then you get 10% off. So getting people to come back into that, into the online store constantly as well. So I think that it's that constant exploring, it's constant testing promotions, testing what's working.
Thank you so much to PR and media expert Katrina Pollard and to Stephen Lewin from Urban Attitude. The business owner we'll hear from in our next episode is one of Australia's top mortgage brokers, but her number one passion is fashion. I'll be speaking to her about how she ties the two together and getting some insight into exporting an Australian business into China. I'm Cara Waters, and this has been the Bold Businesses Podcast, powered by Vodafone.